Welcome back to the Chasing Tone Podcast. I'm Ryan, again with the guest that won't leave, Blake from the Tone Mob Podcast. How you doing, man?
I'm not going to leave. I am cementing myself right here just because why not?
You're like the guy that just keeps sleeping on the couch. You're like, hey, shouldn't you like be out finding an apartment? No, I'm good, man. I'm good.
No, man. It's good. You got some more Cheetos? I need some Cheetos.
I've got some serious Xbox gaming and on my schedule today, so I'm not leaving just yet.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Brian. Brian.
By the way, when you go to the store, can you get some more Cheetos?
Yeah, Brian, I'm all out of Flamin' Hots. Could you please, when you go to the store, and Code Red Mountain Dew, please. Thanks, I'll be right here if you need me. But don't actually ask me for anything.
In fact, if you could just run out and do that now, that'd be great.
Yeah, what are you doing? Are we gonna mow the lawn? Could you run to the store real quick for me? My car's out of gas.
By the way, can I borrow some gas money?
Yeah.
That's basically you, Blake. Blake, yep, Weiland of the Tone Mob Podcast. Host of the Tone Mob Podcast,
That's me.
Hey, you've only had me on your show once. What's the deal, man?
Well, that's true. We should probably rectify that.
I don't know.
Come back on, and it'll be just like this.
You know what we should do? We could just have one episode where it's us just playing backwards,
Oh.
Let the listeners figure it out.
They'll have to decide for themselves. It'll just be a Chasing Tone episode that's played backwards.
Exactly.
That's so awesome. So awesome. So let's get into something other than my
Cheeto habit.
My Cheeto habit and my need for your gas money. I've been wondering something, and we've kind of touched on this a little bit here and there. I know I obviously have my eyes peeled at all times to what's cool or what I think is cool as far as new builders or new-ish builders or just other builders in the gear world. Are there other guys that you look at right now and are just going, man, that's really cool? Or what are your thoughts on who's doing cool stuff? Other than Wampler pedals. Obviously, Wamplers are the best.
Joyo's up there.
Oh, they're they're a real innovator. Yeah.
Legality purposes, I have nothing against Joyo. Great pedals. Check them out. Joyo.com or whatever it is.
Let me say what I have. No, let's not get into that. This is your show.
I'm a weird dude, So like, I like pedals. No, I really am. Like,
no,
I am a little awkward. So I don't really watch everyone who's coming out, but I do listen when someone says you should check this out. For example, I bought, and I'm probably going to screw up his name because I do every time, just like I called the ethereal at NAMM, like for the first five video demonstrations, until they're like, dude, it's ethereal. And I'm like, I barely graduated high school. You can't blame me on this. I bought a pedal today, and it's one I saw at NAMM. Great sounding pedal. I can't wait to get it.
Okay.
Nunabur poop stains.
That's a terrible name for a pedal.
No, that's not the name. Nunabur, it's got all the different reverbs on it. It just came out with it.
Oh, not the Immerse, is it?
It is the Immerse. I think so. It's got all the different reverbs and stuff on it.
Is that the one that they have where you can load like everything on it? Like the whole library of magic tone?
I don't know. I'll let you know in a couple of days. I don't know.
Okay.
But I can see it in my head, but I forget the names because I've been terrible with that kind of stuff. But it's a cool one. And
might be the Immerse.
I think it is the Immerse. That sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
It's got all the vertical lines on it that shows the different options you can do with the knob. Anyways, it's I'm really excited to get that because I love Brian's stuff, and it sounded great at NAMM, man. I had a blast playing it. So yeah, I'm just it, even, which is I mean sounds weird because like, dude, like, weren't you just making a reverb like last week? Yes, but I still like I still like buying stuff too, man. Come on,
Oh, yeah. It doesn't get any better.
No. It's, I mean, the problem is now it's a business expense, so it's probably worse.
Heck yeah.
Now I don't have to, like, try to convince someone that I need it. I just, like, oh, dude, I got to have it. I mean, it's a business expense.
You know, research and development, you know, it's fine. Then,
I got to see what the competition's doing. I mean, geez,
that's
you know?
Right. I got to look under the hood. I got to see what's going on. No, I can tell you that is, like, one of the greatest things. Like, I wasn't a big receipt keeper in the past, and now I'm like, oh, give me that receipt. I got to get that. Give me that receipt. I'm going to put it in my little filing system, and yes, thank you. That is a business expense. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you should see my my system of keeping receipts has improved greatly over the years.
Mm-hmm.
When I was first starting out, she's now my office manager, but at the time she kind of did like bookkeeping and stuff. And this is years ago. She lives, you know, about 30 minutes away. So I would just like mail a big a big mailing envelope stuffed full of receipts crumpled up.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, here's all the receipts for the past month. Have fun.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she's taught me better since then. She's kept me in line better. So now I label the top like, yeah, this was a gear purchase. This was a tool. This was gas or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting better. But, yeah, I'm that's not my forte either.
Right, right.
So, so Nunnabur. I mean,
welcome to the Business Tax Podcast, hosted by Brian and Blake.
What I found out is, if you take the deduction on it, I mean, there's a lot of people that I like, kind of like respect and like what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, but like for example, Keeley. I love everything he's doing. I don't have anything of his. No, I take it back. I do have something. The 30 millisecond, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think it's cool.
Or, I think it's what I have. Mm. So I do have like a few of those things. But I know like he released Monterey recently. I want to try that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I haven't bought it yet. And it's not like – it's just really because I haven't taken the time to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Walrus, I love their stuff. They do great stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The Luminary that just came out looks so cool.
But when you buy it, make sure you let me borrow it.
Okay, we'll do. That's no problem. You're letting me borrow a Leviathan right now, and it's ripping my face off.
And you know what? Actually, the company that, not that it's legendary groundbreaking, but actually I thought it was pretty cool. I forget if you're a part of it or not, but it's the company that did the Klon looking pedal, but it's a fuzz.
Oh, Pelican Noise Works.
Pelican Noise Works. Yes.
Yes, I'm not. I am not a part of it, although directly, but that is one of my best friends, and that was a evil scheme that we hatched together, and then he made it even cooler than what I had imagined when I first pitched in the idea.
That's quite awesome. That's kind of, I don't know if you saw them, but on YouTube this week, last week, I released like some new DIY mods for the Metal Zone. One of them is to like turn it into an overdrive, and the other one just turns it straight up into an EQ pedal.
Oh, nice.
With the idea like, you know, now you can like, if you want to, you know, do the soldering yourself, now you can just have like a couple Metal Zones on your pedal board, and like one's a decent-ish overdrive, decent enough to get to use, you know, and the other one's just a straight up cool EQ pedal, you know, because the EQ is real flexible. And I just thought it'd be funny to, you know, have like a couple Metal Zones on a pedal board sometime.
Especially you. Like, why is Brian Wampler using a Metal Zone and he's playing that chicken picking stuff?
And not just one Metal Zone, but two Metal Zones? You know?
Yes, that definitely falls into the looks are very deceiving department.
So, and that's kind of what got me on that, because I was like, oh, that is genius, making a pedal that looks like the Klon, but it's actually a fuzz.
Yeah, well, it's even better, it's two fuzzes.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yes. And please tell me he's making a big muff-looking box that has a Klon inside.
Oh, don't you worry. That's been talked about before.
Or a fuzz face-looking pedal or something.
Yeah. So, yeah. For everyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, that's my buddy Leon, and he makes those here in the Portland neighborhood. And yes, it's the Pelican Noise Works Pelitar. You know, that's what he ended up calling it, because it's a, that's his mythical creature that he invented. It's a half, yeah, it's a half horse, half pelican, and it's just as terrifying as you would imagine. So
that is great. So yeah, like stuff like that, I really just, I get a huge kick out of, man. I just, I don't know. What was it? We spoke of another company that was Chase Bliss. Chase Bliss, that's right.
Oh man, the tonal recall. Yeah. It's been, the listeners know what I mean by this, but I have constant gas.
Stop eating beans and, you know, maybe take some gas eggs.
Right. Break it up a little bit. But no, I'm always wanting, you know, new gear, because that's it. I mean, you know what that's like. Everyone who listens to this knows what that is like. But that pedal in particular just really, really revved my engine, that tonal recall delay. And I played it at NAMM, and it is so cool. I got to get my hands on one of those. So, yeah.
You ever just have the urge to yell at your spouse to make you a sandwich?
Yeah, constantly. I usually do it.
I was thinking, like, how can I pause this podcast and yell, honey, bring me a sandwich?
You don't have to pause it. Just do it.
No.
I've already like honked like a goose on this podcast. It really can't get any worse from here.
I'm not sure why you talking about pelicans and centaurs and stuff made me crave a sandwich, but all of a sudden I was craving it.
Well, know, let me ask you this question.
Pepperoni, mayonnaise, lettuce and tomato.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now I want a sandwich.
Anyway, I will refrain from yelling at my wife, because she'll probably throw something at me anyways, and that would be,
and it won't be a sandwich.
Right. Avoid the sharp objects.
Right.
Yes. Anyways, you were going to say something that I interrupted you.
I forgot what it was. I want a sandwich.
That's the Chasing Tone podcast. Thanks for listening.
I was just raving about the tonal recall, and that's I can pretty much, I mean, that's the end of that story. I really, really want one, and Joel did a great job on it, and everyone should go check it out. So, That's what I know about that. Is there anybody else that revs your engine up real good?
Have you checked out any of the greenhouse stuff?
No. Tell me more.
I haven't actually played any of them. I've just been looking at them online.
Okay.
And some of them look quite interesting. Uh-huh. So I plan to try to check some of this stuff out. Greenhouse effects, for those who are wondering what in the world I'm talking about.
Okay.
The guys, the engineer behind it's name, I want to say Roy. I totally just went blank.
Okay.
I think it's Roy. And, he's really, really smart, really good at what he does. So I've been aching to try some of that stuff. Then, yeah, I'm drawing a blank on that. Everything else.
What's Greenhouse have going on specifically that you're kind of excited about?
It's not really like, I mean, they've got the typical stuff, but it's the programming that he's doing behind the scenes. Like, that's where I start getting all nerdy, and I'm like, are you doing Shark? You know?
So is he using Shark?
I don't know for sure. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But from what I can tell, yeah, he's a brighter cookie than Nye for sure. Well, not for sure. I mean, we've never had a test or anything, you know.
A brighter cookie. Is it so he's like, you're like a chocolate chip cookie, and then he's like an M&M cookie because it's got more colors?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I have a question, speaking of weird euphemisms or whatever that's called.
Okay.
Why do people say I don't give a crap? Like, why would you give a crap? That makes absolutely no sense.
Or two of them.
I wouldn't want a crap, let alone if you said I'm not giving you a crap, I would probably say thank you because want your crap, you know? Well, how did that ever become a saying? That makes absolutely no sense.
I'm trying to make sense of this in my head, and the best thing I could probably say is it came from maybe like it's not even worth. I don't know. I'm not going to even try to debate that. There's so many of those things that I don't know. I don't know why. It's like, why do we say that?
It's like you can't have your cake and eat it too. What?
Well, how else do you have your cake?
How else am I going to eat my cake if I can't have it?
You can't
like,
have it, Ryan.
Like, what am I, like, is there, like, a cake renting service somewhere where, like, you just rent them and you look at them for a while? I mean, what is the...
you can't rent, you gotta rent the cake. Well, you know what? That's actually kind of funny. I bet you can rent a cake. You probably can.
But it's like, if you eat it, they're like, hey, you can't eat that cake too. You're going to lose your deposit now. I mean, how does that work? You know?
Well, you know what? Now my wheels are turning. I actually think that maybe this does have the roots in something. Because I bet you there is cake rentals for like weddings and stuff.
Do you think that in the fine print it says you cannot eat this cake and have it?
Well, some of it like is probably like a rental. Like, you know they make like styrofoam cakes? Have you ever seen that before? It's crazy. It's ludicrous to me.
Like
but.
Displays, but no, I've never eaten a styrofoam cake.
Well, maybe that's the point. Is like somebody was like, "Here's your cake, but this one, and you can eat it too because it's not styrofoam."
You know, that could be very well could be somewhere. Someone somewhere along the line said, "This is actually a real cake. You can actually eat this one." You know?
So here's your cake, and you can eat it too.
That's true.
I think we've solved the mystery. That is just what everyone tuned in to hear today, and I just made the most ridiculous noise with my mouth. How did I do that? That was weird.
I don't know. Like, like that?
I don't know. I don't know what it was, but it was. Anyway, this is really sideways.
Hey. This podcast at the beginning has been about off topic, and let's not stop now.
Okay, so let's go off topic even further. Let me tell you about something that I experienced in Memphis. There's a place called the Barbecue Shop, and they take spaghetti noodles, and they...
Is there other types of spaghetti I'm not aware of?
There could be. Maybe there's bread form spaghetti. I don't know. If they take spaghetti noodles and they you know, boil them and cook them like normal. So they got these soft noodles. They place these noodles in their smoker where they are cooking all their barbecued meats and catch all the drippings from the said meats, let it marinate overnight, and then... pull the noodles out, and then you top it with whatever flavor of meat you want, like the brisket or the pork or whatever, and it is just the most mind-blowing thing ever.
Speaking of great food, that's awesome story. Awesome story, bro. Has anyone but me noticed that if Robert Keeley ever failed in guitar pedals, that like he would be an amazing cook somewhere?
Oh yeah.
Like if you watch his Instagram, like, Robert, I like just want to hang out with you and eat dinner with you for a week, dude.
His stuff, I'm like, ooh, I'm hungry. I like it's happened before where I've seen him post something, and then like my wife sends me a message or something. Like she's like, hey, what do you want for dinner? I'm like, screenshot, like this, make this for dinner. Yeah, if you know his little pedal outfit that he's got going on. I don't know if people have heard of it, Keeley Electronics. I think some people might know what it is.
He's built a few pedals in the past few years, a couple here and there,
couple few pedals. Yeah, he's moved a few. Mm-hmm. If that fails, you know, he needs to really look into the chef life. I think that's my opinion. So.
Maybe he needs a show. Maybe that's what Robert's missing is like how to blend, and not that he's missing anything, so don't take me wrong. But maybe like that would propel him like to this like huge level if he did like a show about guitar pedals and cooking.
He totally should. Oh, you know how I would tune into that every time.
How awesome would that be? Like a YouTube show of like great circuitry, and here's also how you make an excellent meal. You know?
Right. Like, Welcome to the Tone Kitchen with Robert Keeley. I would totally watch that every time.
Oh, we should pitch that to him. We should trademark that first, or like copyright it or whatever, and then pitch it to him.
Yeah, cooking in the Tone Kitchen with Robert Keeley.
Yeah. So Robert, if you're listening to this, dude, we didn't hatch this plan beforehand. Yeah, this is.
You heard it here first.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
So I saw your Snapchat the other day, man.
Which one?
You had a Benson going into a Champ, I think.
Oh, yeah, I did. That's right.
Monstrous sound. Tell me about that.
Okay, so, yes, that is one of my favorite tricks, and I think we've talked about it briefly. But the Benson Vinny... Wait,
hold on.
Vinny,
before we go further, what is your Snapchat name?
The Tone Mob.
There you go.
The Tone Mob. And okay. You'll see... me come in there and show people tones, because that's what I try to do on there. So.
I like it. You need more snaps. I like it.
I am working on it. I'm actually trying to get a little station set up in that tone cave to where I can like do them really easily, and then I'm also trying to figure out a microphone situation that will be better. So I'm going to try to improve.
I've got the microphone thing figured out for you, so let me... I mean, I can't do it right now, obviously, but here in a bit, I'll tell you everything I know. It's a piece of equipment you need.
Okay, so. Sounds good.
Yep. So continue on with your monstrous tone I heard on Snapchat.
Okay, so basically, the Benson Vinny is a 1-watt all-tube guitar amp that Chris makes, and it is absolutely fantastic. It sounds great. Plugged in like a normal amp, just into a speaker, it's killer. However, my favorite thing to do with it is use it like an overdrive pedal, because it has a instrument level output on it that is post power tube. So you basically...
What, if I can pause you for a second, how is he pushing 1 watt through the speaker? What tube is there? Or is it like a chip?
I think it's an EL84? I'd have to look now.
Okay.
I can't remember now. I think it's one EL. No. Is it 12? I can't remember now. I really can't. No, I'm losing my mind. That's not right.
It's not a 12x7. So, okay. I just wondered if you knew.
I can't remember. I did know at one time. In fact, if I look back, he probably messaged me at one point with what it was, but I can't remember.
That's right. Continue on.
Yeah. So then from there, so I take it and I use it as an overdrive pedal, and I'll run it. Traditionally, I've been running it into bigger amplifiers, like something that's like 15 to 20 watts, and it just sounds huge with that. But then I got to thinking, I was like, I got this 61 Tweed Champ here, and I was rocking just straight in with that, and I was like, this thing sounds really good. And I got to thinking, I wonder what it would sound like if I ran the Vinny into this Champ. And the long story short is it sounded really, really good. So... I had massive amounts of breakup going on with two very small amplifiers, and it sounded enormous. So,
yeah.
I highly recommend the Benson Vinny to anyone. It sounds great regardless of what you plug it into, or just use it by itself.
And it's a Champ you're running through?
I was running that, and yeah, that particular one was going through the 61 Champ. Yes.
So do this, do that, but then run the speaker. Like unplug the speaker and run that into a 412 cabinet, and then you can just like, I'll just accept your thanks now.
That was actually going to be one of my next attempts. Oh. Well, I actually have to unsolder it because it's all wired, but you know.
Yeah. So I've been working on amp stuff. We've talked about this before. And, one of the first things, not the first thing, but like I've been messing with like a deluxe topology for kind of like a bass. And then I started adding tube stages to it.
Okay.
And I got this, just, it's gigantic. I can't even, like, it's just so freaking monstrous. And it eats 412s up. And I mean, I know that's too big. Take to a gig or something, but man, it just sounds so good.
Now you got my wheels turning because there's this.
I'm rubbing my belly button right now in a very awkward way. You know.
I don't. 412s will do that to a guy. You know, their belly button rubbing good.
I love big cabinets, man. I love them.
Yeah, I was about to say I have this old Sun 2x12, and it's a fairly large cabinet size. Everything I plug into that thing just sounds gigantic. It's so good, and adds a ton of low end. Somehow, I don't know.
Lots of wood.
Like, you think that's it? It's just the fact that it's so massive.
I haven't tested my theory yet, but I do have a theory that it is, of course, the volume and size of the cabinet as well.
Mm-hmm.
But my theory that I'm wanting to test here within the next few months is that, like, I want to take a 112 cabinet and I want to make it like 2.5 inches thick of, you know, solid.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see how that changes the sound in the room compared to like your normal plywood. Basically, it's plywood or a 3/4 inch, board.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, and I want to see how it changes the sound. I have a feeling that it's going to resonate so much more and so much differently that it's going to be killer, heavier but killer.
Much heavier for sure. Which now here's another idea. I don't know. You tell me what you think. By the same token,
pine. What,
yep, pine. Super light pine cabinet. Like, kind of like when you have let me think. Like, I'm thinking in like acoustic guitar analogies, right? Like, people really get tone wood crazy on acoustic guitars. I think that, mm-hmm. shouldn't that apply to speaker cabinets as well?
I've got a guy that works for me that builds cabinets, and in case anyone's interested, it's Hebert Pedal Boards, I think is what he goes by. Actually, I think he got kind of, I don't know if he's still doing that now or not, on the side. Anyways, point being that, yeah, he makes cabinets for me, like tons of cabinets. And anyone seen we did a video a while back on the old YouTube podcast series where I was going through a bunch of different 112 cabinets. He made all those cabinets. So anyways, I have no idea where I was going with that.
Oh, I was asking, like, wouldn't a tone wood variation, like if you make
right. You sparked it. Okay. So we experimented with birch versus pine because those mm-hmm. are the two most common materials.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, I prefer pine in almost every situation. 412, 212, closed back, open back. I like the way it sounds better, man.
It's interesting that you bring that up because that's what the aforementioned Benson cabs are pine, and he does that because he prefers it also.
So. Yeah, it's hard to explain it. Like, to me, it just sounds warmer, rounder. It feels like it breathes more, if that makes sense. Like,
mm-hmm.
Literally the cabinet's actually expanding. Like, when that speaker's compressing, it's actually expanding and moving. All that stuff is moving and creating sound waves and all that kind of stuff to form a sound, right?
Right.
And I don't know, like, I'm no scientist. But I do think that the pine just sounds better for cabinets. That's just me.
There you go. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pull your leg on why that is exactly, you know, compared to the molecular structure of, birch or anything. But no.
Yeah, and that's not to say that I don't like, you know, I think I agree with you. It's not to say I don't like – I don't really have a preference, I don't think. I just – know that sometimes certain cabinets sound better with in certain situations. That's what I know.
Yeah, and you know what's weird? I've even using birch, I find that each cabinet really sounds different from piece to piece to piece to piece. You know,
well, doesn't that go back to the and the analogy we talked about a couple weeks ago with guitars?
Mm-hmm. Where, exact same. Yep.
Yeah, the park bench versus guitar thing. I mean, I think. We've talked about this before. It's just crazy how overlooked the cabinet and speaker is. I know many, many gearheads who have never experimented with different speakers in cabs. And it's like, it's such a huge thing that I'm just kind of surprised.
It's so huge, man. I mean, I've been doing some videos on YouTube lately, really kind of showing that, like, when you take the same head, I'm sorry, when you take a bunch of different heads to the exact same cabinet, the exact same speakers, mics in the same place, they do sound different, yes. But they're not nearly as dramatically different as whenever you use the cabinet the amp comes in. So, you know, an AC30 with this 212, you know, the Alnicos or Greenbacks, whatever you're using in it. Mm-hmm. And what are those Birch cabinets, I think? Like, the amp itself sounds so much dramatically different than if you run it into a Marshall 412.
Right.
Of course. Right. I mean, of course. I mean, that's of course.
Mm-hmm. And it's, there's, I've done more, I think we, I don't know how, I hope we're not rehashing a bunch of stuff, but I forget. I've done more with, like, I've never, like, pulled speakers out. You just swap the whole cabinet, you know, like, I got this 2x12 Marshall, you know, and I'm going to go try this 2x12 Sun or whatever it happens to be, or a 1x12 or, you know.
Each cabinet is dramatically different. Yeah, if you get a chance, swap speakers out. It's a huge difference. Like, for example, Hot Rod Deluxe, very first thing I do, pull that speaker out because it's cracked. Mm-hmm. Pull it out, put something else in. And I've had people ask me, what do you put in it? If I'm playing clean, I use a WGS Veteran 30.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to be playing clean mostly, if I'm going to be using more distortion-ish type of tones, then I'm going to put a WGS HM75. And now you're going to ask me, well, why WGS? Why not Celestion? Celestion, send me some stuff and I'll check it out. But I mean, all I have is a few things from Celestion. And I so far, like Vintage 30 compared to Veteran 30, Veteran 30 being WGS, I prefer the Veteran 30 every time. Every time.
Yep.
And they're greenbacks. WGS makes the Green Beret, which is a version of a greenback. And comparing a Celestion greenback with a WGS Green Beret, for the Green Beret every time.
Interesting. Very interesting. I just thought of something. We kind of talked about, like, preconceived notions and how it affects people's gear purchasing and whatever. So I have this old 2x12 Marshall, and it's one of those ones where the – I can't remember the model number – where the speakers are diagonal from each other.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it looks like a 412.
Yeah, it looks like a small 412.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but it's actually a big 2x12 though, but, you know.
Aren't those particle boards? Is that particle board cabinet?
This one's not, no.
Okay, I was thinking they were.
This is an old one, not that old, but it's back when they were still, you know, everything was done in England.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I didn't realize those cabinets were that far back. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's from the early 80s, so it's not super, super old, but pretty old for, you know, what we're talking about. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. I plugged in to it because I was playing one of the cheap garbage Marshall ones, the particle board, like the MG, whatever. I had one of those, and it didn't sound very good. It sounded pretty muffled. I plugged in to this 2x12, and it sounded great. It sounded fantastic, and I didn't know what kind of speakers were in it. I just knew it sounded good. Well, I get home, and there's Celestion. G1275Hs? I can't remember.
Right.
But when I Googled it, if I would have Googled it first, I may not have bought that cab. Because everyone's like, those are only good for metal. They're not good for anything but chugga-chugga metal. And I think they sound fantastic for everything. Like, pretty clean tones, everything. So
hold on, I lost you for 10 seconds. You think they sound what?
I think they sound awesome.
Oh, okay.
I think they sound really good for everything. But like I said, if I had just believed the internet, I would have assumed they were only good for chugga chugga metal. So interesting. I don't know where what the point of this was. The point is.
The point is speaker information. Speaker info and content. The point is, buy some speakers and swap your speakers out before you even think of buying new tubes for your amp.
Oh, there you go.
You may actually want new speakers for the amp that you don't like, and you put in a new speaker, and you're like, holy crap, this amp is now my favorite amp. Mm-hmm. Because the speakers make way more difference than I promise you, they make more difference than a guitar pedal is going to be. They make more difference than a tube is going to be.
Well, if you think about it, and we have, it's funny that we have to remind ourselves of that, because the speaker is the part that's actually physically making the sound. So of course it would make the most difference. It's the part making the sound. Like, right. Why do we overlook that?
Because we want to believe that it's not that, because changing speakers is a pain in the butt, man. You know, it just is.
It's not that bad, though. I mean, that's a basic.
It depends on the amp. It depends on the amp. Like, for example, I've got a Chinese AC30, mm-hmm. and I tried to swap the speakers out with that, and the screws stripped in the particle board baffle or whatever. It was just like this complete nightmare where I had to cut the screws off the Dremel, and then I then had to screw new holes, and just a nightmare.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think it was a particle board, but yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that was very frustrating. Usually that doesn't happen. It happened on that amp, and I was very angry. And in other amps, you have to take loosen the screws that hold like the actual electronic part of the chassis,
mm-hmm.
and be very careful to lift it out, set it aside, and then you can get to the speaker. Like the Fender Deluxe. Hot Rod Deluxes are that way.
Gotcha.
And that's kind of a pain, because when you want to change between three or four different types of speakers, you got to do that every time, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Well, here I go. I was like, I haven't actually physically changed a speaker, but I changed cabinets. And I'm like, well, it's not that hard.
What do you know, Blake? You don't know nothing, dude.
Apparently, I don't know nothing. I was actually, because this is mostly what I have, I was just picturing regular standalone cabinets. I'm like, well, I just pull the back off and it's right there. But there's these things called combo amplifiers that have been out
combos,
for a while.
With combos, it can be different. Not every one of them, but some of them.
Speaking of combos, when you're out getting Cheetos, could you give me a bag of them too?
You want the pizza flavored or the cheddar?
Oh, pizza all the way. Is it bad all that my mind instantly went to that when you said combo? When it's like, oh man, I kind of want some combos.
I think that means it's dinner time and time to call it a night.
All right. Well,
unless you got something else to blow my mind with.
To blow your mind? Not really. I am gonna need to borrow your truck later, though.
Can you make sure it has gas in it?
Yeah, make sure it has gas in it. I'm gonna need to run my friend Billy's throwing a kegger, and I gotta go help him pick up the keg. I don't actually know a Billy.
All right then.
I apologize to all your listeners. I do this, but
and anyone named Billy.
And anyone. He's like, wait a second, I didn't invite you. You, sir, are not invited. You take Ryan's truck back.
All right, so Blake, with the Tone Mob Podcast, where can people find you?
They can find it online at tonemob.com. They can find it on iTunes or any other podcast they like to listen to. I do write the occasional blog posts and everything on tonemob.com also. And then, of course, all the normal social media stuff is at the Tone Mob. And then there's the Tone Mob Facebook group. It's all over the interwebs. A simple Google will turn up some Tone Mobbage for you.
All right, so let's get your home address real quick so people can stop by and say hi. I'm teasing you.
Of course,
it's P.O. Box. P.O. Box 21.
I was just about to give my P.O. box out. That's funny.
So if you're interested in asking us any questions or just want to tell us that we annoy you, make sure you email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. You can also go to our Facebook group, Wampler Pedals Tone Group. I know that's a pretty creative name. And mm-hmm. then, of course, Wampler Pedals Facebook page, Wampler Pedals Instagram page, Wampler Pedals Twitter, Wampler Pedals YouTube, and then my Snapchat, which is Brian Wampler.
There you go.
Wham, yep. bam. Yep. And one more thing. This is a good way to close the show. If next time Robert Keeley posts food, everyone should comment on it that, you know, the Robert Keeley Tone Kitchen. So
yes, hashtag hashtag Keeley Tone Kitchen.
Yes,
yeah, that'd be great. You guys got to do that.
Please do it, guys. Just do it.
So, all right. So we will see everybody. Actually, we won't see you, but we'll talk to everybody next week.
Yep. Later. Yep.
See ya.